Hello and welcome to Cooking Your Way Through Life.
Today's episode is Cooking Your Way Through Growth. And today's culinary tip is Pickling 101.
Cooking Your Way Through Life is a podcast combining knowledge of the kitchen and applying it to real life situations. This podcast is all about understanding techniques to make things you already know even better. Topics from traveling on a budget, setting and achieving short and long-term goals, and of course, cooking.
On today's episode, we discuss growth in ways that sometimes we forget to talk about it. Sometimes we only think of growing when you're going up in something, but you can grow if you're doing a lateral move as well, because it's all about learning from your experiences. I'm also going to teach you pickling 101, and on top of doing pickling, we're going to teach you how to make a quick kimchi that maybe you can do at home.
Please welcome Chef Hollywood.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Cooking Your Way Through Life with me, Chef Hollywood. And today I'm joined with my co-host, Warren, who, if you have not heard or met him before, then he's been on a couple episodes, as well as the most recent episode, very recently, the Halloween episode. So welcome back,
spooky.
Warren.
It's
all about you. You know, get him in the streets out here. What you been up to since last time we seen you at Halloween?
Thanks for having me again. It's always fun to do this. I always learn something new about cooking, which I never knew before, or I never tried before, so that's good. What have I been up to since? We went on holiday. Took Annette away for her birthday. A little bit of Rotterdam action. We just went to Gran Canaria. Yeah, we did some stuff, but yeah, it's been fun.
Y'all be outside. Yeah, they be really outside. Like,
we're trying.
Shout out to y'all, because if you don't know, I do cook on a cruise ship, so I'm a culinary instructor. I travel around the world, and Annette and Warren have met me the most out of all my friends. Whenever I'm anywhere, like, they will fly, they will take a train, they will drive. Like, shout out to you guys, because you always show up. Oh, I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
I think the last time we went from a wedding was very hungover, and then drove straight down to come and see you on the ship. So
I'm gonna get you on the ship eventually. Like, it's gonna happen, and when it happens, we're gonna live stream for everybody. When I
it's
get
gonna
you
be some crazy scenes.
Yeah, we might cut some stuff out, but all right, guys, on today's episode, we're talking about growth, personal growth, like growth within yourself. And then it also led me into thinking about the recipes or tips and things we're going to do today, which is going to be pickling in a way. So we're going to be talking about some kimchi, as well as what I call pickling 101, which is just teaching you a quick, easy pickling liquid to pickle most vegetables and fruit that you can use for everything from your pickles to your pickled vegetables to make my favorite sandwich, your banh mi sandwiches out there, or anything in between. Mm-hmm. So just one of many ways you can pickle, but I call it pickling 101 because I think it's the easiest way to get into pickling, and you can change out the ingredients how you like, the vinegars that you like, and we'll get into that a little bit more later. But we're gonna get into today's topic, which is growth. And I want to say the first, you know, you know, guys, like we start deep, and then we get, you know, a little bit less deep, but we like to start off deep here. And I think, like, especially for people like Warren and me, and people that, or it really like a lot of my friends who, I don't know about you, but I feel like life moves so fast. Like, you look back 5 years ago and you've done so much. Like, breaking it down sometimes. So I would say, in the past year, what do you think signifies your biggest personal growth point? Like, is there something that has happened in the past year, or a certain point, or something that just made you feel like, man, I really grew so much from that?
Yeah. Well, I think probably, I'm trying to think of a way to explain it. So I have done, or we have done, a whole heap of traveling. I didn't really spend a lot of time living in Birmingham, even when I did live there. But that was all quite selfish in a sense. Like, it was me going out to travel, it was me going to these places and doing these things. And then last year, I moved from Birmingham to London, to be with Annette in London. So now we live together. And I think I'd probably say that's in the last year, probably the biggest thing, change, growth point, because it's not just me doing it for me. It's me doing it for like us, for something that's not like necessarily for myself. It's to for us to get to a different place. And we have grown in our relationship since then, especially even just well, the main point of moving down was that we're planning on moving to Australia at some point. And yeah, there was no that I didn't want for us to move in together and be in a different country. So we're having to, find these ways of being together, but now living together. And her getting annoyed at the fact that my socks are everywhere, and then me getting annoyed at the fact that she doesn't use the rack system properly when she's drying up the dishes. But we'll have our things.
You have to work
So
those
I
kinks
think,
out, you know.
you do. But that's probably been the biggest change I could probably see in myself in the past year. I've lived with partners before, like partly and sporadically, but this is like, yeah, we are in it.
In it all the way, and just like in each other's space all the time. In a good
It's
way,
good
in a
job I
good
like her.
way. Dang, that is like that's a big one. I have not actually lived with a partner really ever, honestly. And I think about it, like you just said that, and it made me realize, like I mean, ships is the closest as I ever come to, and even then, I'm like, you gotta go, you know, you can't be here like every day, like is
Or it's
it, like.
also like, I mean, we've had this conversation multiple times that ships is such a fine like the time you have is so finite in a sense. So that's why we become such good friends like very relatively quickly. But it's so intense, but you know that it has like a expiry date. It has a time limit. So when you do
I can
it
count down. I can count
like
it down.
exactly when you do it on land or like outside of that setting, it forces you to have to change who you are and the way you are in different situations, the way you would approach things, because it's not like you can just be like, all right, yeah, get out. Like, there is it's not that easy.
I guess mine is also slightly I'm trying to think, 'cause it's like I feel like two things have happened to me as far as like personal growth. One is a little bit in my personal life, and the other one is a little bit more in my professional life though. I feel like the how do I say this? The political answer should be the
I think you should explain both.
On the personal side, because we might as well, you know. On the personal side, over the past year, I spent time with somebody in New Zealand, and we spent 2 weeks straight together after having one date and like just like hitting it off. And like you're saying about being in each other's space, like a little, I had the best of both worlds because I didn't know I was leaving in 2 weeks, but also it was my first time really just like immersing myself in someone else's space, which is very big for me. Like I moved into his space versus like, you know, we moved into each other's space, like into my space. So that was a little bit different, and it did make me realize that one, I've been single for way too long because I'm so used to stuff being like how I want it. Like I was just like, I got so used to like, oh, like, you know. And two, I was not as good at sharing or like cohabitating as I thought I was. Like in my head, I was like, I'm a great cohabitator. Like I'm a great partner. Yeah. I had to adjust. So I think it definitely made me grow a little bit more on that side and like kind of put my money where my mouth is. Like I would say it, but I wasn't really actually doing it. And I think professionally, like I switched jobs in the past year and I still, it's weird because I'm in an industry where I am an instructor now, like it is culinary. I'm a culinary instructor and I was teaching previously for another company and I switched over to this new company and I didn't realize that I had not been challenged in a long time, like to actually be better. And I didn't have the support, but having the support and to be challenged, I feel like I've grown more in the past, I'll say 6 months, as a better culinary instructor than I have in the last 2 years. Yeah. Like, because for a long time, I just feel like I was just doing it and I was doing what I knew. I didn't have anybody to really push me to be better or like, you know, like actually get me to go to the next level. Yeah. And having like having a boss that supports you first and like has your back and like stuff, but also having, I think working with people that are great, you know, like when you work with people that are amazing, it pushes you to be amazing if you're like competitive like I am. So yeah. it makes me want to do better. I think I've been growing a lot in the past year.
I think it's also good, like even thinking about just changing the environment that you're in, even even though, like, say for example, the like you were lucky in a sense that you changed the environment you were in to a better one with more like-minded people in a certain sense, with more challenges and all that kind of thing. But even without that, if you just moved environment from one to the other, it's learning new processes, it's having to understand a new way of a different company and all that kind of stuff, and that can really force growth, even if it's the same job.
Yeah, I think so too, because like that's one of the things I was gonna ask you too, and I mean I'm living proof that I feel this way, but I know sometimes people feel like growth only happens when you're like advancing forward, but like is a lateral move, can you grow from it? And I think I just went through a lateral move on paper from the same job to the same job, but I feel like I grew so much from that lateral move because what you said, the environment changed.
I think even like, so there's two ways you can look at it. Either you can move to a company which is drastically different or in a different field, and therefore you're having to gain knowledge and information and all this other stuff, and that's what's making you grow, because you are literally consuming new information and having to become this different version of yourself. Or you can stick within the same field, basically the same thing one-to-one, but because you're having to now talk to different people within that setting, you're on a different ship or whatever it may be, you're working for a different company, the criteria might be slightly different, the wording that you have to use might be slightly different. All of that is still growth. It's still you having to be something that you haven't been for the past 2-3 years.
Yeah, I feel you. I think so. And yeah, I think sometimes we just, like, society makes it seem like if you're not elevating, you're not growing. But I think the personal growth is, like, very important, even if the on paper or, you know, looks a little different for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, guys, you know, before we get too deep over here, because we are very deep individuals, like, you know. We're going to get into one of today's recipes, which, as I mentioned, I want to do a little pickling 101 and also talk about kimchi. I'm actually going to do the pickling first because I just feel like it's so easy. And a lot of people ask me about this, like pickling things, because I will pickle stuff all the time. And a lot of times it's really just because you have extra. Like that's, you know, pickling, one of the reasons why we started pickling in general around the world is to preserve food. And you have to remember, we have amazing things now like refrigerators and Instapots, everything in between, but that was not the thing all the time. So if you needed to preserve your food and make it last longer, you pickle it and it lasts a little longer. So one of the things I use a lot, and I usually have in my refrigerator, are pickled onions. So I don't know how much you like pickled vegetables. Are you a pickled vegetable fan?
So this is like a strange thing that you, like, you've picked a subject, and you can ask Annette this. Like, I have been saying for the 4 years that we've been in a relationship, I really want to start pickling things. Like, it has genuinely been like, I've always liked pickled things. And when we first got together, she was like, yeah, I don't really like pickles. And I was like, how do you not like pickles? But I think it's the like traditional idea of a pickle. But then you realize that there are so many different pickled things, like sauerkrauts and kimchi and all these other things. And now she's a big fan of pickles, and I've still never made pickles. So I think this right here is the starting of my pickle journey.
All right. Perfect.
I'm pickle Rick.
I did not like, this has just happened, guys. Like, this is not planned at all. So, all right. So my pickling 101 for you, and this is just my easiest way to pickle, is you take water. So it's 50-50, guys, water and whatever vinegar that you like. And I say fix your vinegar to the flavors that you're going to. So, for instance, one of my favorite sandwiches is banh mi sandwiches. That's a Vietnamese dish. So I usually do the pickling liquid with water and either rice wine vinegar or like a vinegar that's more Asian style. So usually rice wine or even a white wine vinegar, something that's a little bit strong but light. If you're doing more of a European or like I say French or even Italian style, like you use apple cider or red wine vinegar sometimes for that like really astringent flavors. One vinegar you do kind of stay away from in pickling is balsamic vinegar. And it's just because it's so strong. And if you do want to use balsamic, you use white balsamic vinegar and not regular balsamic vinegar. But you just want to start with your vinegar based on like the end result that you want your flavors to be, if that makes sense. So this one, we use red wine vinegar and actually, no, I'm sorry. Apple cider vinegar for today, because in our imaginary pickling, we're going to pickle a lot of different things. I think apple cider vinegar for me is like a good medium vinegar because I really like the flavor. So I would go whatever vinegar you love the flavor to. So for you, just pick out whatever vinegar you like. That's easy. So 50-50, half red wine. All right. I must be thinking about wine today. Half water, half apple cider vinegar. And this is the thing. We're doing half and half, and I'm saying this. When you test out your pickling, so Warren's a great example. I always say start at 50-50, make your pickling liquid, make your pickle items. And if you want it to be more vinegary, meaning more stronger, then you're going to up it. So you'll do 75% vinegar, 25% water. If you find that it's a little too strong, you want a little lighter, you go the opposite way. 75% water, 25% vinegar. But when you're first starting out, you want to do 50-50, so then you can adjust for the next time. It's so easy and so fast. You can easily do the test run. Your first run will be a test run. Then if you do it next time, you can adjust. So that's why I say 50-50. And then you just go from there. So after you get your 50-50, everything else is also optional. This is why pickling, I feel like, is so amazing. Because your basis is that you're using the vinegar to now cook through, kind of, and quote-unquote pickle your vegetables, what we're doing. And this is called a quick pickling because we're going to heat up our pickling liquid, pour it over our vegetables while they're hot, let it come room temperature, and then put them in the refrigerator. Once they're chilled, it's pickled. So it's no like, how long does that take? Like, it's none of that. You're going from hot liquid, room temperature liquid, cold liquid, it's pickled. So that's why I say this is like the easiest run. You can Google pickling and you'll find thousands of recipes. You can use any of them, but I just feel like this is so easy. You can kind of start here and just kind of branch out. Today, in our imaginary pickling world, we're going to do, I would say, some onions because I love red onions. We're going to do some pickles, so cucumbers. So red onions, cucumbers, and also carrots. I like having some pickled carrots. They can go on your salads. They can go on your sandwiches. Also, if you are making banh mi sandwiches, awesome to have that in there. So those three are what we're going to do today. The great thing is, too, all three of those items have flavors on their own. We're going to use the same pickling liquid, but they're going to taste different. Carrots are naturally sweet. Your pickles from your cucumber is actually going to be real pickle. So it's going to be like that real pickle flavor there. And red onions, in my opinion, are one of the best things to pickle because you can literally use them anywhere. So we're going to put in half and half your apple cider vinegar and your water. And then for today, we're going to use salt, which salt is your next thing. It's always going to be in there. We're using kosher salt, guys, not iodized salt. You want to make sure kosher salt. So that's rock salt. That's cooking salt, I think, in the UK.
Anything
that's not iodized. So cooking salt, kosher salt, rock salt. So just like going to use a ginger, garlic, red pepper flakes, salt. And then, of course, last one, sugar. You need to balance out the salt and the sugar. I'm using brown sugar today. You can use white granulated sugar. That's usually also for a flavor profile. I like the brown sugar because it has that molasses kind of flavor. It doesn't just give you sweetness. It gives you a second layer of flavor. You also can use honey, agave, or maple syrup as your sweetener for this. So that's what I mean. The options are limitless. That's why I love pickling because you can just kind of like, you can make 1,000 pickling recipes and they all be different, but you can cater to your own flavors. We're going to get this up to a boil. You're only bringing it to a boil and then taking it to a simmer until your sugar and your salt disappear. So they're going to dissolve into your liquid. This means that all the liquid is together. Now, in this case, especially because you're using red pepper flakes, if you know that like you like it spicy but not like super spicy, you want to strain it out. A lot of times when you're using pickling liquids, you do want to use a strainer. So, for instance, if you're in the fall, you use a lot of star anise or like different flavors. You put in the whole star anise in there or the different allspice berries and everything. You strain that out so that you don't accidentally eat that later because it's not great.
Yeah.
So I would say strain it first and then have all your vegetables, in this case, onions, your red onions, carrots, and our cucumbers in separate containers. And then you want to pour the liquid over each individual. Now, this is just because I might not want to use my carrots the same day that I use my onions on the same recipe. Now, if you know that you want to do everything together, you can put it all in one jar or one container. But my pro tip is that if you have enough containers, always do it separately because you always can put them together. But if you do all the three together, they're going to share flavor profiles. So your onions are now going to give some of your pickles that flavor and vice versa with your carrots. So we're going to talk about that more in the kimchi later. But in this case, I like doing it individually and then you can kind of use it sporadically when you want. They don't all have to go together. You're going to pour that hot liquid over. You're going to instantly see the color change because it's going to start to cook automatically because it's hot liquid. Room temperature. So room temperature, leave it out for about at least minimum an hour. I would say 2 hours to get room temp as much as possible. And then cover it. Either if it's in a jar, you can close the lid or plastic wrap or the easiest thing to do is Tupperware for this, disposable Tupperware, and then put it inside your refrigerator. You just want to get it down to chill. So 4 hours minimally, but I would say just do it overnight. So do it the night before. Literally tomorrow or in 4 hours, you have pickles. You have pickles, you have pickle red onions and pickle carrots. Now, these things can now last up to 2 weeks because you just did it yourself. So I would say 14 days until the flavor starts to disappear. Now, that's the thing. I always say do only enough that would last you 14 days. Don't do more because after 14 days, discard it. But this is great for if you have like an extra onion left over or you have some carrots or, you know, like it's great for leftovers. But also if you like Warren and you just want to get into the pickling game, like it's so easy to do. And a lot of people are so nervous about it, but I love it because you can, it's kind of like a create your own journey thing. Like this is one of thousands of ways of making this. So do you feel comfortable now to make you and Annette some pickles?
I think I do. Yeah. I think I'm ready to start the pickling journey. Is there a difference between this way of doing pickles and then is it the one where it's like a, or is this a brine? Is this still a brine?
So a little bit of a brine is very similar to a pickling liquid, but brines, we use a couple different ingredients, and we normally don't use a vinegar, so we don't use an acid directly in a brine. That's the biggest difference, but for all intents and purposes, they're cousins, because in a brine, it's a very salty solution, because you want the liquid, the osmosis to happen. So you want to force in whatever dish flavor into your item, and then pulling out the other liquid that's inside. And you have to make sure that you cool down your brine before you add your item to it. So that's one other big difference. So no vinegar, no acid in it, because if you pour on a hot brine over a turkey, you're gonna start cooking that turkey, which you do not want to happen. So that's why you always see brine recipes include ice, because you want to ice it down. And so you do bring it up to a boil, to a simmer, to like pretty much cook through the salt, but then you cool it down with the ice, and then you usually put it in. You want to brine things for minimally one day most of the time.
Yeah,
but they work very closely. Like it's, I would say, cousins in a way. So
yeah. So then the other thing is, what would be the difference? Because these would last for 14 days. What would be the difference between this and a store bought? Is it just things that make it shelf stable for a longer period of time, or is it a different process of doing it?
So two things. One is, yes, the shelf stabilization. There's so many things in those jars to keep it shelf stable and to keep that going. The other thing is, too, is that, yes, they do a more intensified pickling method. And yours will last more than 14 days as well. But what you'll see in ours that you make yourself is that you are creating this pickling liquid. And what's happening is just like kind of doing ceviche, where you're using the acid to continuously cook through. You start a cooking process with it being hot, but it's the acid now that's continually cooking. You don't have anything to cut it off. Those chef stabilization, the chef stabilizers, or you know, they kind of stop that process a little bit. Stabilizers. Yeah. Wow, I was all over that one. Jesus, guys.
I'm English. It's my language.
I haven't had too many alcoholic beverages. Those things are cut off a lot with the store-bought or like shelf-stable method of doing things, and you don't have those. So that's like when you're making ceviche at home as well. Like, I mean, most chefs, including myself, will tell you to, like, if you make ceviche, I always tell people 3 days max, 4 days, get rid of it, because there's no off switch on that acid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really what it is. You could keep it, but you'll notice, like, on probably, like, day 17 or 18, especially with things like your carrots, they're going to look the same, but the flavor is just not going to be there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We just want you to have the best flavor. I want you to have the best flavor all the time. So.
And I mean, realistically, it seems like it's such a quick process that if you realized that it's been 18 days, you could just make it again.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I do try to, like, vinaigrettes, pickling. I do try to tell people to do a smaller amount, because the fresher it is, the better it is too. So like, don't make a lot, because it's so fast to make, and now you can switch it up, you know, like you can make new pickles and new vegetables, and it's a whole new flavor. So you might have, like, a lot of people get, especially for those people that eat at home and cook a lot, you get bored eating the same thing. I get bored eating the same thing. So yeah. It's like a quick way to kind of change it up a little bit. So
yeah,
nice. All right, guys, jumping back into the topic, because we are talking about growth today. And I would say we didn't do this in this recipe. We actually just succeeded very well. But failure happens a lot of times in our lives and recipes as well, guys. A lot of your favorite recipes, as you know, is because we failed at the recipe we were going for. So that happens a lot. And I would say, as far as failure, can it be a part of your journey when it comes to growth? And what's something that you can think of that, like, was a failure but kind of turned into growth in your journey, your life, looking back and reflecting?
Well, the easiest one, realistically, like, if we're being honest, is, like, relationships, isn't it? Like,
maybe for you.
Just kind of learn from it, Drake. I feel targeted.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's all different.
No. Yeah, no. I don't know. I think for a large percentage of my life, even going back to like the whole doing things selfishly thing, I didn't always consider other people in my actions or the way I used to do things, think about things. And the later I got in my life, I say it like I'm 63 years old, but to this point, you know, like the more, you know, after a bad relationship or, you know, whatever, you just really know what it is that you either want from a situation or how best to approach something, especially when it is somebody who you do have appreciation for. It's easy to be selfish with somebody who you don't really care about because there's nothing there to hold you back from doing it. But then, you know, you the more you care about that person, you want to do things the right way. And I think doing things the wrong way enough teaches you the ways in which you should probably do it the right way. I think that's something that is definitely growth. But then that's personal life. And I think it also comes back to like the way you split your personal life and your work life. When it comes to work life, not always do we do something right the first time. Like as a tattoo artist, sometimes I'll do a tattoo and I'll look at it and I'll be like, ugh, could have done that bit better. I could have made that line a little bit straighter. Like it's nothing that you would ever look at or like the person with the tattoo, but I can see it because I'm the one doing it. I guess for you, it'd be the same in like a recipe. Oh, I should have added a bit more salt, but nobody tasting it would go, oh, there's not enough salt. They'd just be like, oh yeah, this is lovely. So I think, you know, we sometimes it's about being self-critical in the way that we look at the things that we do, especially in a professional environment. And I don't necessarily think being self-critical or questioning the things that you do is a bad thing, as long as you do it with respect to yourself. If you beat yourself up about every single decision, then there might be something else there. But if all you're doing is giving yourself constructive feedback in the things that it is that you're doing, I don't think it's a bad thing. And I think that can lead to professional growth.
All right. I get you. I mean, you know, you started out with the personal, and I have not had a lot of growth from my personal situations. I mean, I have, but I don't know. Like, I just feel like if I have to measure it, I've probably grown the small amount in personal life and a larger amount in professional life, and also I feel like personal growth or growth in personal relationships, sometimes it's hard for you to see it yourself. Like, I'm pretty sure Annette can quantify your growth from how you describe your previous things more than you can a little bit, because like you're in it, you know, like,
yeah,
because it's like with professional growth, like it's the other people and the ways you're moving that kind of I can be like, oh yeah, I've definitely grown a lot since, you know, a year ago.
Yeah,
sucking.
Yeah, like,
so, I think the failure part of it for me, and it's funny that we're on a podcast because my biggest failure that kind of led me to a big growth point was, a lot of us probably, was COVID and pouring in so much money and time into my business as a personal chef. And like I was had all the clients, I was going to people's homes, and then boom, it stopped. I had to pivot. I was never going to do podcasting. Like, I never thought about doing podcasting, I would say. Like, I never thought about getting into the YouTube space. I did want to always write a cookbook, but honestly speaking, it would have happened, like, in my 50s. Like, it would not have happened when it happened. Like, I just wouldn't have did it. So I think, like, you know, sometimes the failure leads to growth in different ways that you might not have thought about it. Especially in my case, because,
I also think it's like easier to see growth in a professional sense because you can separate your work life from who you are, if that makes sense. It's a lot harder to look at your actions and think about how they have affected the things that have happened to you in life, you know?
Yeah.
So it's easier to like have that appreciation and understanding for your professional life, because we don't see work as being life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's work, it's not life, it's separate.
Yeah.
But when you have to have that same critical thinking of yourself within your life, that's a whole different conversation that most people need therapy for. So
shout out to my therapist. You one of God's strongest soldiers, boy. Between him and my guardian angel, shout out to them.
Overtime.
They be working overtime. Like, But I think you're right though. It's easier to see it that way. Especially like, yeah. I compartmentalize stuff, you know. Like I think those of us who can compartmentalize, it's very easy to see that versus the, like I said, I'm pretty sure I think I definitely have grown personally. I feel like I have, because I don't even think that I would be in a situation I'm in now if I hadn't. But it's harder for me to, like, you know, say it is.
It's harder to appreciate it as well. Like, because realistically, other, like you said, with Annette, is probably more able to see mine than I am. Yeah. It's the same for you. Like, other people would be able to say, look, but you're not the same person you were.
Yeah, exactly. I can see yours too. Like, I know you're not the same person.
Yeah. It's a good job we've known each other for so long, isn't it?
Right. Well, that leads us into the other part of this is, do you think that everyone's growth is the same, or is it a personal mindset? And I think we kind of answered this, but
I think that people's willingness to be able to self-criticize is what ultimately allows them to be able to grow in certain circumstances. So I think that is especially prevalent for personal growth. But then I also think it's a reflection of how you can grow within work as well. Some people who I've worked with, if you turn around to them and say, look, maybe we've both worked with a cruise director who it was very hesitant to take in on constructive feedback, not even criticism. No, no. Like different ways of operating, like, oh, we should try this because I think it might yield a better result. And they were very against doing anything other than what they know. Now, he may think that he doesn't need to because he knows how to run it. Fine. Appreciate that. But realistically, if you never challenge yourself, how would you ever grow? Like, he could have got to a point where he's like, actually, that's better. Actually, the scores are better on that cruise because people appreciated it more. People got to see a different side. But he was never willing to do that because it wasn't in his comfort zone. He was never willing to push himself. He didn't want the feedback from anybody else. And I think, same way, if you're not willing to give yourself constructive feedback within a relationship or receive it from others in a personal environment, as long as it's being delivered to you fairly and constructively, like, you just listen. You don't even need to necessarily change anything, but just listen, be open and receptive.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that's a big thing, is that the personal, like, just being accountable. Like, you know, taking self-accountability, you know, and just understanding. Like you say, listening to somebody does not mean I have to do exactly what they say, but taking the time to listen is a big part. And I think a lot of people don't listen. They just plow through.
And just being able to, like, being able to take a second and for your thoughts to not be the only thoughts sometimes can be used more as a tool, even for the other person. Like, if I'm having a conversation with somebody and I'm taking in what it is that they're saying, and I'm able to give them back the information they've given to me, they know we're having a conversation, they know we're talking, Like, it's not one person talking at, like you said, it's not somebody talking at you. It's like, it's knowledge, information being received. And then, like you say, there's nothing to say that you have to do anything with that information, but just the act of being able to listen means that you are already putting yourself at more of an advantage.
Yeah, I think one quote that I'm a very quote heavy person, like quote living with me, and one quote that always lives with me is, "Are you listening to understand me, or are you listening for your turn to talk?" And if you're listening for your turn to talk, then like you say, I can't repeat back what you said, because I wasn't even listening to grasp what you were talking about. It's, I'm just waiting for you to shut up so I can talk. Yeah. And I'm discarding.
Okay, me now.
Yeah. And we also know somebody mutually like that, that used to be in your role as an ACD.
Yeah.
And like I try so hard to be like, what do you, you're just like, it's the one man show and I'm just here.
Yeah.
Like in a conversation. So yeah.
It's really hard to like have it's really hard to create meaningful connections with people who are like that. Like, I don't think we would be friends if we were like that, because there's, it's an A to A conversation and the B is just sitting there listening. But I don't, for me, that's never been like a, I want to have, like, that's what I think this podcast is good for. I want to have conversations that genuinely challenge and like, let's talk about some stuff. And if we're having the conversations that we're describing, it's just it's just don't get me wrong, we can I can chat I can chat nonsense with the best of people, but if I consider you a friend, I want to be able to have conversations.
That's the key right there. And it's like, I think that's the difference between like having a friendship and being cordial. Like, is that work friends versus friends situation?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We've had to do that a lot. And everybody does that, from a 9 to 5 to working on ships, like industries. And you know, that's the difference between you really actually having a connection, in my opinion, like a real actual connection that lasts. Because I'm not going to check up on the person that I'm the, it's the A to B conversation with, as much as I'm checking up on the person I can have actual conversation with. Like,
it's just like a hello when you see them.
Basically, like, you're still alive. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But then I think it also goes back to relationships as well. Like, I have been in relationships with people where I didn't really care about having a conversation with them, not because, but just because that wasn't the main focus of like our relationship. That's not like we didn't have very deep conversations, but then I'm not with them. Do you know what I mean?
To have a deep conversation.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas now, for me, this, like, that, I think that's a lot of growth as well, is that like I want to be with, and luckily I've found somebody who I can actually have like conversations with, and she's fit, so that's good.
And yeah, you know, it doesn't hurt. That's beautiful. No, I definitely think the physical aspect helps, but I'm with you because I take it a step for, I mean, I can honestly say I've been with people that I realize now that I didn't even really like. Yep. Like, I didn't even really, like, the idea of talking to somebody every day and not, like, feeling like it's a chore or, like, I have to reach out to say something. Like, now I'm in a situation where, like, I want to. I like to do it. I walk down the street and I'll see something like just random that reminds me, and I'm just like, I take a picture and I send it. It's like a conversation. Like, it's like a, it's like a genuine, I want to talk to this person all the time.
But even that's growth, because you can see, you can see that there's a difference between these two things. So that has to be growth, you know? So like, you can say you feel like your growth in like personal is this, professional is this. But by even acknowledging that there was a difference in how you were, or what you would want now as opposed to then, like, that shows that there has been growth, you know.
Yeah, and they're fit too, so you know, you're right.
To all of the American guests, I apologize. Fit means attractive, that's all.
Fit does it, yeah, because in America, all my American people are like, dang, okay, so He don't like fat people.
They run marathons?
No, they look good. They look good.
So yeah, they look good too.
I would say what the young people are saying, but I'm trying not to curse that much on here. But it's the hot shit is the new thing now. So
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's I'm too many years away from being young.
Yeah. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's cool.
Yeah. Black don't crack, baby.
That's true. That's true. I shaved his beard off, and I'm like going up on a campus real fast. Like, no, it's true. All right, guys, let's get back into the recipes. God, we cooking. We gotta do the kimchi. So we did the pickling 101. I wanted to do two things this episode because I think they're both pretty. I mean, I always say simple, then I realize like it's simple for me because I do it. But I do think these are easy to understand and easy to scale to your liking. And kimchi is one of those things that I feel like is we buy it. You can buy it. I mean, totally buy it if you want to. But I think it's one of those things that scare people in making. And I will say this because respectfully, when I'm doing anything that is culturally like significant like kimchi, this is just my variation of it. This is not the most traditional way to do it. This is like an easy introduction to kimchi. And then if you want to do it traditionally, I would actually recommend you reading up on it, understanding where the kimchi comes from and the heritage of it, which is a little bit about what we touched on earlier with preserving the food. But it's also about the flavor profile of adding that umami kind of flavor to each individual item. So a lot of times in Korea, you use kimchi the same way we use hot sauce in America. Or what do you guys use, like a sauce that goes on everything in the UK? Like, I was going to say brown sauce.
Yeah, but... No. Yeah, like maybe I'm lucky because I'm half Jamaican, so we still have hot sauce like Scotch bonnet sauce.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's like it has become like a condiment. Like you can just put it on everything from But kimchi also kind of like our pickling earlier, but it's a little different. So this is a lacto fermentation, and what that means is we do two steps. So we're going to start with napa cabbage, which would be like the base of your kimchi, and we want to soak it in a salty brine. So you're going to heavily salt your cabbage, like chop it up. And if you ever bought kimchi or you ever had it before, you notice that you don't have to chop it up very small. Like it's really nice to have those bigger pieces. My favorite is to kind of have, like if I have two napa cabbage, I'll chop one up very finely, like more like a cabbage for slaw, and then chop the other one up kind of big so I can have the juxtaposition of the textures. And so put that into a bowl. And the best thing to do this with is actually like a colander first. So just like when you're using your pasta, draining your pasta out, put it in there and just rinse it first. So you want to rinse off any of the dirt or anything that's on the actual cabbage, and then pop it into a bowl because you want to add on loads of salt, guys. Like the salt level is going to be extraordinary, but we're going to wash it away, so don't worry. But we're doing this salt brine, which your question earlier about the brine, we're basically going to brine it in a salty brine with just salt and water, because this is going to kill the harmful bacteria that can grow later. So this first process is to get rid of the bad bacteria, because just like our pickling, we're going to have this for a long time. But kimchi is different. We're actually going to use bacteria to really get it to where we want. So we want to get rid of any bad bacteria that can harm us, which is why we're going to do the salty brine. And then now, after you wash that off, after doing that process, which you can keep that brine for about, I would say, about 4 to 6 hours. It might be longer than what you're used to and where a lot of recipes say, but my recommendation, because a lot of us are not like professional cooks that listen to this podcast, this is one of those things where it's better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
And those extra hours not going to kill you, but not doing it too long might make you feel like you're going to die. You know? So, yeah. So 4 to 6 hours in that brine, and then rinse it off, wash it off. And then you're going to put everything together, and we're going to bring this like this mixture together. So after that, the good bacteria is left, and it's going to convert the sugars into lactic acid. So that's going to move the process along of the lacto fermentation. So we're going to use the bacteria to pretty much cook or turn these ingredients into what we know as kimchi. So after you do that process, I would say put it into a jar and put it into a pickling jar or a jar that has a lid. This is for two reasons, guys. One, if it is completely enclosed, as that bacteria is going, it's going to release these gases, which are going to speed up the process and get everything going. But two, it's not going to smell great at first. So you do want something that has a lid on it. And if you ever had kimchi, it's a very strong smell. So you want something that is airtight. So trust me, guys. See, Warren knows. So before we go into the jar, you're going to put everything together in a bowl. This is what I like to do so I can make sure everything's mixed very well. So once again, you have like the flavor profiles are there. So Napa cabbage, we're going to add a little bit more salt. But we remember we washed off the salt that did the action here earlier. So we add a little salt. You can add garlic and ginger. Now, this is fresh garlic and ginger, in my opinion. But in a pinch, you can add the garlic powder and ginger powder. Also, some granulated sugar. Granulated sugar. I don't know what just happened there. I glitched. The matrix. All right. Some granulated sugar there. Some fish sauce, which is very, very prominent in this dish. I talked about this being like a variation of a very traditional dish. Most kimchis you will find, the fish sauce is like the one thing that is always in there. There's rare times where you'll make kimchi that is considered vegan or vegetarian without fish sauce, but anywhere you go in Korea is probably gonna have fish sauce in it, just a heads up. And then you also have a little spice there, so the Korean red pepper flakes. This is also going to be your preference as far as how spicy you want it. Some kimchi is super spicy, some kimchi is not so spicy. Remember that this is going to be your preference. I will say, pro tip, however much you think you're putting in for spice, it's going to double in that flavor. So if you're like, ooh, I'm like a tablespoon kind of person, at my max, put in half a tablespoon. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to double in that flavor profile for you. So little tip there. I also like to add in scallions. I like putting in daikon. And then you also need the water. So I like to mix all of that together first, put it into the jar and close it, and you're done. You just want to wait one to five days, and it's going to pretty much get the fermentation going. I would say do the 5 days because you're going to get the best flavor. And then once that 5 days is done, which you're leaving this out, guys. So that's another thing. It's going to be out of the refrigerator. So on your countertop and just I would say a warm place. You don't need it like in the sunlight, but you can just put it in a warm spot. And then once it happens, meaning that it's completely done, when you open that jar, whew, it's gonna blast you. But the trick is, once you open that jar, now introduce that air back into it, you have to put it in the refrigerator. So it's outside that entire time while it's pretty much becoming kimchi. And then once you're done with the process, to stop it from continuously pretty much lactofermentation, stop that process, is to put it in the refrigerator. So if you do decide, I want to do it 3 days, you have to pop it in the refrigerator in 3 days so it can stop the process. And that's going to be your flavor profile. And that's just like we were talking about pickling earlier. You can adjust your vinegar and water. If you notice that in 5 days, man, this kimchi is super strong, you want a little bit less, then you want to go 3 days. And then if you really just like a light kimchi, that'll be your 1 day. But that 1 to 5 days is your chance to kind of see how strong you want it, in a sense. And also, if you do like that really, really umami flavor, you want to add more of that fish sauce. That fish sauce is what's going to really give you that umami flavor there. And like we were saying earlier, you can use kimchi on everything, like fried rice, grits, sandwiches. Like, it literally is a condiment that can go on anything and everything you think of. But I thought it'd be really cool just to give you the tools to make that, because I love kimchi, and I think a lot of people never realize how easy it is to make. So now you can make Annette kimchi and pickles.
See, I'm quite lucky in that my youngest sister, I'm one of six, and I have four sisters. So my second youngest sister is avidly a fan of like anime and all these other things. She loves the whole K-pop. She loves all of it. So she has been making kimchi for years. Wow. So I've never had to actually make it, because she always just gives me some.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so you should ask her how she makes it. And then you got like two different types too now. Because everybody makes it different. So this is just one. Once again, like this is just one of many ways to make it. So.
And then how long can this one be stored in the fridge?
So I would do the same thing. I never make it more than like 14 days worth. And I just do this kind of like a lot of my pickle and stuff. Things like I just do it as like my maximum, so I do a smaller amount. If you're doing a large amount, this can actually go for like a month, honestly speaking.
Oh, really?
But I usually just make about 14 days worth, and then that's it. If I'm doing it, when I worked in restaurants, I used to do it for like a month's worth because it does take the time. So I have to, if I know I need kimchi coming up, I gotta put my like I'll be like, all right, gotta do 5 days out. Like so that time period does kind of hit you. But I would say 2 weeks to a month is like maximum, like keeping it. And then you'll just notice the same thing. You're gonna notice the flavors start to deplete a little bit. That salt that's in there is consistently bringing out the moisture, so you're just gonna be like, oh, this cabbage just like has a little less flavor than it did yesterday. Like,
would it change textures as well because of
it's gonna get a little softer. Yep, it's gonna get softer, and that's why sometimes when you buy it store bought, especially because you're eating it from your sister, if you buy some that's store bought, they probably taste lackluster to you because they've been sitting there for so long. So that is some kimchi as well as the pickling 101, and also with the growth finishing out the episode, is anything like a final note you would say on growth and personal growth, anything like the mindset of growth and everything today?
I think I'd just probably reiterate, like, it's easier said than done, and I'm very much aware of it. I've had a lot of opportunities to experience different things and different ways of thinking. And I think that really challenged me to ask questions of myself, which gave me the ability to be able to be more self-reflective on a day-to-day basis, but then also even just thinking back on, you know, life situations, all that kind of stuff. So I understand it might be easier for me to say that's the way I feel growth the most, but I think if people take a second to actually to just do that, to be mindful of the way in which they speak to other people, or the way in which they speak to their partner, the way they think about the their job and all this kind of stuff, and be a bit more honest and critical and self-reflective, then maybe either it will help them to get past the point that they feel sad at work, or they whatever, you know, or don't appreciate the person, don't appreciate something in a relationship or privately or whatever. Yeah. I think all of these things can actually help you in the long term. But yeah, I'd say try and appreciate things from a different perspective a little bit more, and it might help you break past that.
Nice. And for those of you that don't know, my word that Warren tattooed on my arm is perspective. It's my favorite word ever. So, you know, like, I agree. Like, the perspective is the key, man. And even today, like, I would say doing this episode, I realized that sometimes you have to talk about it because you don't acknowledge your growth that you've done. Like, just talking to you, I realize I have grown a lot more in my personal life than I realized. And that's something that we don't do a lot sometimes, too. Like, we don't give ourselves... Sometimes you don't give ourselves the space to recognize our growth. And I think that's something we need to do more as well. So
yeah, definitely. Like, there's nothing wrong with humility, giving yourself a little pat on the back. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You've got from one point to another point. If you can see growth and you can, like, give yourself some flowers. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's true, man. All right, Warren, once again, tell the people how they can find you and what you have coming up next. I know you got something super exciting coming up.
Yeah, well, you can find me on Instagram at ininquitrust and on my website, ininquitrust.com.co.uk, both or one, who knows. and then apart from that, I've actually just started a business which is an expansion of tattooing. And I wanted to offer people the ability to have tattoos, which I find to be, you know, some of the most memorable ways of engraving this personal moment onto our souls via our body. And the way I've decided to do that is by starting a company where you can hire tattoo artists for any of your occasions, whether that's your birthday or what I really want to do is get it set up so that we can offer it for weddings and offer bespoke custom tattoos as a way that your guests can remember the wedding that you've paid sometimes an absurd amount of money for. You know what I mean? So what better way than for them to always be able to remember it by, you know, a memento of that day. And that is going to be called Occasional Tattoos, and it will be occasionaltattoos.com. So if you ever wanted to hire a tattoo studio to do your weddings, birthdays, or even a works party, if you're a brand that's looking to have something a little bit different at an event that you've got coming up, then let us know and we can make some incredible things happen.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right, guys, as always, thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you have a good one, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to Cooking Your Way Through Life with Chef Hollywood.